Your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms, the 49th Psalm. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 622. And beginning with the 12th verse, we will read responsively through verse 17. Psalm 49, verses 12 through 17, page 622. And as we always do, shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Nevertheless, man, being in honor, abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when men is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away, his glory shall not descend after him. The 17th verse is the 6th verse, and let's pray. Father, our privilege in being here is much more than what we can realize. Thank you for this day, for our church. Thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. Pray for thy power and blessing to be upon us in a very unique and special way today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on this subject. You can take some of it with you. You can take some of it with you. Our text verse is this. While when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. After I've given the introduction to my message, you will then know why I use this for our text verse this morning. I could have used that amazing passage in Ecclesiastes where the wise man said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Our Heavenly Father, I cannot help these people if they do not listen to me. Nor can I help them if I do not listen to you. I pray you'd help me to be attentive to you. And may they in turn be attentive to me. So that we may gain some truth to take with us this morning. To make us better people. And better servants of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for the first few minutes this morning, I'm going to have your mind very, 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 very involved in what I'm saying. I believe if you'll give me the first 10 minutes on purpose with your mind totally involved with what I'm saying, I believe then I'll be able to keep you listening after that. I preached a sermon in a distant state on the text I mentioned a while ago. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And I believe that with all my heart. Good night. If you're going to do it, give it all you got. If you're not going to give it all you got, sit down and leave it alone. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. If your hand finds a hammer, use it with all your might. If your hand finds a trowel, lay brick with all your might. If your hand finds a stethoscope, be a doctor with all your might. If your hand finds a spatula, be the best cook in the world. If your hand finds a Bible, preach the best you can. I got a letter just this last week from down in Hebron. The lady said, I've never seen you, but I've heard your tapes. And she said, well, I like about you. She said, every time you preach, you give it all you got. Well, good night. Every time I do anything, I give it all I've got. I'm not going to do it if I do it half-heartedly and lackadaisically. I love the scripture. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I preached on that subject, and a fellow walked up to me, and he's sort of a sissy fellow, and sissies bother me a great deal. And sort of a sissy fellow, and he walked up to me, and he said, Brother Hiles, let me show you a scripture. And so he showed me that my text this morning. He said, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. He said, now, why should we get so excited about doing everything just so eagerly and with all our might? When we die, we carry nothing away. Now, I'm going to show you why we ought to do it with all our might. Now, there's some things that I don't understand why we do them. When I was a paratrooper in World War II, they used to say to me, Now, Hiles dig a hole over here on this side of the road. I'd dig a hole there, and next day they'd say, Hiles, fill the hole up. I'd fill the hole up. Next day they'd say, carry these bricks from over here to over here. I'd carry a big stack of bricks over there. It took me all day. Next day they'd say, carry them back over there. Now, I did not know why. I'm not sure they knew why either, but I did not know why. But I knew this. I had a job to do. I guarantee you those bricks were stacked better than any bricks ever been stacked before. I guarantee you that's one of the best holes ever dug. I'm one of the best hole diggers you ever saw in your life. And I gave it all I had. Now, there's a reason why we all do that. Now, I know you're going to leave your house and your lands and your money, all of it someday, and you're going to wish then you trusted Christ. You're going to wish then you live for God. Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done where there will be no seeking sun. Each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. For my life on earth is but a span, and so I'll do the best I can. Now, I'm saying there's a reason. Now follow me carefully. Let's suppose this morning. Let's just suppose that we knew that on a certain day in 1987, the communists were going to take over Hammond. And by the way, they are going to take over someday if we don't start voting right and if we don't start standing right. But let's suppose that we knew that, let's just choose an arbitrary date. Let's suppose we knew that the communists are going to take over Hammond. Are you listening now? Let's suppose we knew it. They're going to take over Hammond March the 1st, 1987. Now, there are two types of people. You'd say that as this. And by the way, they're going to take over they're going to divide the property and abolish private ownership and private rights, and you'll not own your house anymore, and you'll not own your business anymore. It'll all be the communal style of living, and the communists taking over, and we'll all be on the same communal level without ownership of property on March the 1st, 1987. Now, somebody's going to say, well, then I better enjoy what I've got to the fullest. I tell you what, if I've only got about four more months, January, February, and then December, and then November. If I've only got 4.5 more months, I'm going to enjoy it the fullest. And I'm really going to live it up. Eat, drink, be merry. Because tomorrow the communists take over and I'll lose everything. I'm going to enjoy my house like I've never enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy my job like I've never enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy my boat like I've never enjoyed it. I'm going to enjoy my cottage with a lake like I've never enjoyed my cottage before. Because in 4.5 months, I'll lose it all. Somebody else says, why try? Why work? Why keep on trying? 4.5 months, it's all over anyway. Fooey on it. Why try? But now, wait a minute. Those are not the only two alternatives. Now, follow me. Here's the sermon. Somebody says, enjoy it to its fullest and give it all you got. You don't have much longer to work. Work hard. Somebody else says, fooey on it. May as well lay around, do nothing, because they're going to take it over and I'm going to lose it all. But now, wait a minute. There's a third. And here's the one I'm talking about this morning. There's the fellow who says, I can work hard between now and March the 1st. And I cannot keep a thing I've earned. But I can work hard and develop some traits that cannot be taken when the communists take over. Those traits can help me through the trials. The tools which lead to my success now will help me then. And the communists can't destroy those. If you knew the communists are taking over March the 1st, 1987, you ought to go to work and give it all you got. Work hard. You say, why? Because they can take away your work, but they can't take away the tenacity that made you successful. They can take away your work, but they can't take away your diligence and your character that made you successful. I have a friend who made a fortune. After he made the fortune, I thought I liked him better. But I had a friend who made a fortune. He lost it. He lost every dime of it. And he said to me, he said, Dr. Howes, I don't have one single thing. He was not a member of the church here. He didn't live in the state. I don't have one single thing left. I don't have anything left. I said, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. There's one thing you have left. You do have the knowledge of how to make a fortune. And his eyes opened twice as wide as normal. And he said, never saw it like that. I said, bankruptcy can't take away how to make a fortune. You learned how to do it. And the communists can't take away your diligence And the communists can't take away your character. And the communists can't take away your honor. And the communists can't destroy your integrity. I'm saying that the Bible here says we can take nothing with us. No, you can't take your house with you. You can't take your money with you. You can't take your gold with you. But bless God, when you die and go to heaven, you can take your honor with you. You can take your decency with you. You can take your tenacity with you. You can take your diligence with you. You can take your character with you. And by the way, I'd rather have character without money than money without character. If you got money without character and lose it, you can't get it back. But if you got money with it, well, you got no money and character, you can succeed. I remember preaching a sermon. I sometimes preach it. Used to preach it more than now. Around the country, called "You Can Fail and Not Be a Failure." You can fail and not be a failure. Down here in Normal, Illinois, there was a man who had made $3 million in just a matter of a few years. I'm talking about just a very few years. He came to hear me preach, and in fact, we had some time together. I talked to him about his business, and he came to hear me preach, and then he lost it all. All of it. And then he came to hear me preach again. I preached that sermon, "You Can Fail, Not Be a Failure." He lost $3 million. And I said, failing is not being a failure. But the truth is, constant failing is that which brings success. Failure, failing plus failing plus failing plus failing plus failing plus failing plus failing equals you can fill in the line. That man heard that sermon and he said, "I have failed, but I won't be a failure." He got him a speech up on how to lose $3 million in a week. And he made more than $3 million on that speech. He made his money back on a talk, how to lose $3 million in a week. That's what he did. Now listen to me. I don't always understand all the things we're supposed to do. But this I do know. Let's take, for example, I don't know all the things I studied in college. I'm not sure if I know anything I studied in college. But I am sure in college that I learned how to learn. It did not enjoy some of the things I learned, but sometimes you take algebra, and I never have this day seen the sense of algebra. Now, we teach it in all our schools, and don't get your hopes up. We're going to continue teaching in all our schools. But I haven't got the faintest idea why. I looked for X for 8 years. 8 years. Then I started on got off on a tangent and cotangents and sines and cosines and worked on that for a while. I mean, for all those years, I did it. I don't know why. But I know why now. You know why? If you know why, tell me why. But I know why now. I know because I needed to learn how to study. I needed to learn how to learn. And now I know how to study that book. I know how to read. Why? Because I read Beowulf and Lady of the Lake and Ancient Mariner and all that stuff in school, and bless God, I haven't read any of it since I got out of school, but I learned how to read. I learned to walk with good words. I learned the words of Shakespeare. I learned the words of Macbeth. I learned the words of Wordsworth. I learned the words of Keats and Shelley, and some of them I liked and some I didn't like, but that's not the issue. Whatever you do, you do it with your mind. Well, you say someday I'm going to have to go off and leave it. You go off and leave it, but you won't leave the thing that helped you get it. It's the tight over here, the boxer. Good illustration. Out there in that little squared ring, getting his face knocked off. That's a dumb way to make a living. I saw him once before, several years ago. He didn't look at all like he looked then. They rearranged his whole face. But now, wait a minute. Wait, you say, well, now, are you fighting anymore? Oh, you're fighting in politics, but he's retired in the ring. Well, you say, did he make the champion? Well, I think he was champion of the state, maybe here for a while, but no, he didn't become the world champion. But tell you what, though he's later all signed, and maybe all the money he made and the kind of fights he fought, you don't get rich on. You've got to be the Sugar Rays to get rich and the hagglers and so forth. But I'm saying this. I'm saying that now that he's gone on to something bigger. He's running for office. You think you've been in fights before, Buster. You've got fights now. You wish you were back in the ring. I'll guarantee you. I'm saying this. I'm saying that sure, the tenacity. Get up when you're down. Keep on going. Don't turn back.
Move on forward. Don't give up. If your face is bloody, wipe it off and go back and get it. And do not be stopped. Now, he has that still. And that cannot be taken from him. He has it. Take a football player. If a football player knows this is true, one of these days you've got to lay down your shoulder pads and lay down your helmet and lay down your knee pads and lay down your football, and one of these days you've got to go to other fields. I'll guarantee you this. Whatever Walter Payton does when he gets out of football, he'll do it more doggedly than he would have done if he hadn't played football. Now you listen, folks. You can't take your house. Well, why should I wear? Well, tomorrow we're going to die. We can't take it with us. I'll tell you why. Because the things that you earn and the things that you accumulate, you cannot take with you, but you can take with you the way that you earned it and the way that you accumulated it. And that's why, if a thing we do, we ought to do our best at it. Subject matter was only the shell. The subject matter was only the shell that made me memorize and made me study. And I had to use tenacity and burn midnight oil and study when I didn't feel like studying and stay up when I was sleepy and keep my shoulder to the wheel and crack those books. And you know what I'm talking about. Hundreds of you know what I'm talking about. I don't remember all the things I learned there. I'm sure they're tucked in here somewhere. But I don't remember this morning all the things. But I do know this. I know if I had not burned the midnight oil in school, there wouldn't be any First Baptist Church of Hammond like this today as far as I'm leaving the pastor's concerned. All those things are gone, but the tenacity. I'll not quit. I'll not turn back. I'll not give in. I'll keep on going. I'll keep on fighting. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. So where'd you get that? Got it back in school. Got in the paratroopers. When I said I'm going to get my wings. And I got them. They said, you'll never get them. I got them. You can't run 10 miles a day. I did. You can't do 90 push-ups with a full field pack on your back, but it is. You can't do 25 push-ups with your right hand, but it is. I can't do 9 push-ups now. Because I got a full field pack on my front. I'm so sick and tired of halfway doing things, I don't know what to do. Well, you say you can't take them with you. You can't take them with you, but you can take the thing that made you get them with you. Look at MacArthur, Douglas MacArthur, who, by the way, in my way of thinking, the greatest mistake of my generation was not to have Mr. MacArthur in the White House. Douglas MacArthur spent a good part of his life trying to destroy Japan. Now, listen carefully. When Japan was destroyed, it looked like maybe everything was gone. But Mr. MacArthur learned how to keep his shoulder to the wheel. Mr. MacArthur learned diligence. He learned character. He learned integrity. He learned honesty. He learned dedication. What did he do? What he learned in destroying Japan, he used to rebuild Japan. Little fellow said, you can't take it with you. Why work so hard? I'll tell you why. You can't take what you earn with you, but you can take what made you earn it with you. You can't take your houses and lands with you, but you can take what made you build those houses and lands with you. I tell this around the country, and I forget sometimes what I've told here and haven't told there, or told there. But I'm sure somewhere back yonder I've told about this, because I love it. We had my English teacher in high school was named Helen Adduddle. Adduddell. She was built just like her name is built. She was built like Adduddell. She was 6'4", weighed 220 pounds. On the weekend, she played tight end for the Chicago Bears. I can still see that big old, tall, muscle-bound lady coming to English class. And I was 17 years old. She didn't walk in class. She didn't come to class like this. You have all the professors that walk in like that for me. She came in. It's English. English literature. I mean, All that stuff that
this is the stuff that has lasted through the centuries. But it wouldn't have lasted through the centuries if somebody hadn't had English books. But anyway, enough of that.
She's come in. English book. Oh. Boys and girls, this is your lucky day.
It's a big deal, big deal, big deal.
This morning, guess whom we're studying?
Brock on Nagurski.
No. We're studying this morning Chaucer.
We studying the cups or just the Chaucer?
She'll say, oh, listen to this heavenly writing. Wrong, got a feeling, but it's sure as so there. The drop of March has passion to the rose, and bob it every vein and peach liqueur.
Personally, I prefer Sports Illustrated.
She quote that. Bond out of pity with a short sote. The drop of March is precious to rote. And bob it in the vein and feet in the core. Ah.
We'd go, ah.
She'd walk in the next day. And she'd say, oh, young people, this is your lucky day. Today we're studying William Cullen Bryan.
Who does he play for?
She said, listen to this. Written at the tender age of 17.
So live that when thy summons comes to join that innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, go thou not as the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with an unfaltering trust that folds thy grave, as one who wraps the drapery of his couch about him and lies down to pleasant pains. Ah. You fellas can't understand that. That's too deep for you. Let me get down to your level. Mary had a little lamb. Sorry about that.
Now, look.
Be quite frank with you. I'm kidding. I love poetry. I wouldn't have loved poetry if Mrs. Duddle hadn't given it all she had. I love it now. I love William Cullen Bryan. I love Phantopsis. Read it just the other day. I do not care if a bond that a feeling with a short is short, the drops of March is thirsty, with opium, bothered every vein and feast. But I don't understand that. Those northern accents bother me.
But listen, the thing I got from Mr. Duddle was, like what you're doing, and give it your best. You give me some English teachers that give the English class what the basketball coach gives the basketball team, and we'll have young people that like English like basketball players like basketball. You ever see here of a school building an English gymnasium? They build gymnasiums. Go to the average school. Half the cost was put on the place where you have athletics. Now, I love athletics. Love it. Also love English. I just believe whatever you do it with all your might. And if you say, preacher, I just don't understand it. I've got to leave it someday. Yeah, but you don't have to leave what's got it for you someday.
Someday. And maybe soon. I'm 60 years of age. My battle will end. I will leave behind this church that I love with all my soul and all my heart. I will not take this building with me when I go. But only God knows. Fellow, don't put your hat back. Folks behind you, they want to hear you bother them. I cannot take this building with me when I go to heaven. When I leave and preach behind this pulpit for the last time, I think I'll die anyway. I love this place. I picked out the colors. I picked out these squares up here. I chose this drape up here. I chose the color scheme, this entire building. I spent a year trying to find some place to borrow the money, make this building a reality. I love it. I think it's the most preachable building in America. I love it. But someday I'll leave it. But I'll take with me whatever character I achieved
by building it. Someday I will preach on chapel at Howells Anderson College for the last time. I cannot take that building with me. Somebody else will stand behind this pulpit and somebody else will be preaching on chapel at Howells Anderson College. But you can't take away from me, and neither can Dad, what I got praying out there all night, every month, one night over the month, 12 months. I wanted that campus. They said they wouldn't sell it, but I wanted it, and I believe God had it for us. And one night a month, I walked out there, and I mean, it, except when it was snow on the ground, I took off my shoes. And I walked over that campus, and I claimed it for God, and I begged God for it. And all night long, I begged God for it. 12 nights, one a month for a year, I walked up and down those hills and barefoot and begged God for those hills. I walked down those valleys and begged God for those valleys. I walked across that lake and I begged God. It hurts me when you doubt me like that. It really does. But I walked around that lake and I claimed it for God. I know I've got to leave it before too many years. But I want to tell you something. The fellowship I had with my God while praying down that college will never leave me. And the praise in my soul that I felt when God opened the door miraculously and got us that beautiful campus there for our college, the praise that I felt and the exaltation of God that I felt in my soul, you will not take that from me when I die. The day will come when I'll leave it all behind. What little money I have, the house I own that Al Gomez lives in, I'll leave it all behind. And I'll be honest with you, I hate the thought of it. When I drive around our property sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I don't know how it's been done. I really don't know how it's been done. When I stop and realize what's been done on this corner here alone, and all these buildings we've bought and all these buildings we've built, I drive down here to City Baptist High School and remember how we bought that United Church of Christ for $155,000. I don't remember where that money came from. I drive out to Baptist City and see that 28-acre campus out there with a high school, junior high school, and grade school, and I guess 14 or 15 buildings, two gymnasiums, and so forth. I drive out there, and I remember when we drove out there the first time, it was a wilderness, not a street there. Between January 1st and September 1st, we built streets, we laid sewer lines, we put in the telephone poles, put in all, and built a little city out there and built those buildings. $2.5 million. I've forgotten where the money came from. I don't know how it's been done. I do not comprehend how it's all been done. I go to Howells Anderson College and see that miracle out there. We didn't have a dime. You know where I wanted to start Howells Anderson College? I wanted to buy this building across the street from the Catholics. I found out it was condemned, but I wanted to buy that. That's where I wanted to start Howells Anderson College. Never dawned on me we'd have one of the most beautiful campuses in the world. I thought maybe somehow we'd have 200 or 300 students sometime, maybe. We had 240 students the first year from 29 states all across this country. And this year and last year, approximately 2,600 students a year from all over this nation. I don't understand how it's all been done. And I think it's a little unfair sometimes. I complain to God about it. It's a little unfair sometimes for a man to work all his life to see something and die and leave it. Some nut that never laid a brick, never raised a dime. And I'll have to leave it. I'll tell you what I won't have to leave. I won't have to leave the praise my heart feels to God because of His blessing. I won't have to leave whatever diligence I've spent. I won't have to leave whatever made me serve Him here. I can take that with me. And I can serve Him better there than I could have. I can take the energy and devotion of 27 years and 2 months. And I can, and by the way, the last 19 of those, no day off. Not one day off. Not one. Not one whole day off in 19 years. I can take that same dedication to the task. In just a few years, when I get to behold the face of my Savior, I can praise Him better and serve Him better and be more what He needs me to be. And whatever heaven is like, I know one thing, it's a place where we serve. I think heaven is as real as Hammond, a place where we serve. And I can serve Him better and love Him better and praise Him better forever because I've given my best and whatever I held in my hand. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. One day you'll leave what you've done, but you won't leave how you did it. One day you'll leave what you accomplished, but you won't lose that with which you accomplished it. The shell will leave, the kernel will stay. And the work you'll leave, but the tools you'll carry with you. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. Does your hand find a pen at school? Do it with your might. Is your hand writing an essay for English class? Do it with your might. Is your hand building a house? Do it with your might. Is your hand holding the treatise in a courtroom? Do it with your might. Is your hand holding the political future of this area? Do it with your might. Is your hand holding a little child? Rear him with your might. Is your hand holding a spatula and a saucepan? Do it with your might. Whatever thy hand finds it to do, do it with thy might. What your hand does will pass away. But the way you do it will never pass away. Father, bless you.